You're listening to the LA Rams Report's Flipping the Tables podcast.
First and 10 from the 27. Warner back to throw. Rainbow's the far sideline, and it is caught by Isaac Bruce. Makes a move to the 30, 25, 20, and they won't catch him today.
Yes.
Touchdown Rams!
73 yards for the Reverend Ike.
And now, here's your hosts, Josh Webb and Cameron Worrell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome here to an all-new Flipping Tables podcast. We're going to call this an outburst because I'm flying solo today. And I apologize about the little clanging noise in the background. I am walking Loki Dog today, for those of you who follow me on Twitter. But it presented an ample opportunity today to discuss some interesting news that came up. It was a time that worked for myself and my guest today of Niner Nation, SB Nation's home for the San Francisco 49ers, and about a dozen other things in life, because we're entrepreneurs. Miss Jennifer Lee Chan. Jennifer, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Husky walking, having fun on this gorgeous Sunday. But, you know, normally these sorts of conversations are under the context of who's going to win. And it feels kind of nice to be able to have a more casual and relaxed conversation about these two franchises. But the news is, and I'm going to go ahead and let you take it from here, because I feel like I would be treading on Niner territory, speaking of this news, because I'm not quite sure what the Rams are, or the Niners are doing here. So what's going on with the Niners and Kaepernick?
It's, well, I mean, as Trent Baalke has said before, are we ever transparent? So they really tend not to be. It's hard to say. Obviously, the relationship between the 49ers and Kaepernick is very strained. There's been some leaks in the last season about he was the reason that they had a bad season. Obviously, he was taken out of the starting position. Blaine Gabbert was put in, and then he had three different off-season surgeries to fix kind of minor injuries. So there's a lot of questions about whether he'll be back, whether he wants to be back, which seems like that's a no. But the Niners apparently are there, campaign right now is that they would like him back.
And I want to touch on that for a minute, because it felt like at least a week and a half ago, it seemed, at least there were reports out there. Now, whether it, obviously they were premature, or maybe they weren't. Maybe the situation just, it seemed like it was headed that way and then fell apart, because I know that can happen in sports. It seemed like once Chip Kelly came aboard, that it was initially reported Kaepernick wanted out, but then that he met with the organization and wanted to stay. Were the reports false, or did that then fall apart shortly after?
Well, the interesting thing is that all of the reports that, you know, Kaepernick had, well, of course, Chip Kelly in his first press conference said that he did talk to Kaepernick, and, you know, obviously they don't have any history together, so they can't talk about football also until April 4th. So they had a nice conversation. Chip wasn't effusive with compliments for him, but he didn't say anything bad about him. I'm sure he wants to see what he can do. All of the reports that Kaepernick would want to stay or that the Niners were interested were coming from the Niners camp. And then, of course, after the day after, during the combine, when Baalke said he was absolutely going to be on the roster, and Chip Kelly said he sounds like he wanted to stay, that's when Kaepernick's camp said, kind of, it came out that he was requesting a trade. So it's kind of like each side has had their own, I guess, announcements, and I guess Kaepernick's camp hasn't really said that he wants to stay, but, you know, he's under contract with the Niners at this time.
So before we get into what should happen, I kind of want to talk for just a moment at least about your assessment of where Kaepernick's at in his career. Now, I know we've had some conversations on the record, some conversations off the record, and by on the record, I mean you can find them on Twitter. These days, apparently, that counts for on the record. If somebody else can find it on Twitter, you said it on the record. But Where is Kaepernick at? Is the Kaepernick that we saw maybe those first couple of seasons under Harbaugh, you know, with the Niners finding all sorts of success, not just in the NFC, but, you know, I think it was back-to-back-to-back NFC championship appearances. And then it just sort of seemed like the wagon fell off. Kaepernick fell apart. Was that a Harbaugh thing? Was that a Kaepernick thing? Was that a mutual thing? Where do you come down on Kaepernick at this point in his career?
I mean, obviously Kaepernick has a unique set of skills. He is very fast. He's very elusive. And yes, it was three back-to-back NFC championship games. Last season, I don't know exactly where or when the problem kind of started, but I mean, definitely after that Arizona game with all of those interceptions, he just looked like he had no confidence in the pocket. And, you know, it's, I don't know exactly whether it was a loss of confidence, issues with the offensive line, which also, I mean, definitely there are issues with the offensive line. But it was kind of the combination of all of it that kind of needed, where there needed to be change. And so there was, and Gabbert was put in as the starter.
Now, at this point in his career, you know, the conversation about Kaepernick, I feel, is going to be more about upside than what he's done lately. And I feel that people will bring up maybe some of the success that he did have. But I feel that, for the most part, the conversation is going to be dominated by where he's at now and the fact that he was literally just benched. Do you see that at all getting in the way of potential interest, or do you think that the upside of Kaepernick is going to be enough for, as you say, teams to take on? What's the cap there?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he has huge, huge potential. I mean, what he's done, his body of work is, I mean, you can't deny that he's been to three championship games and just was, you know, I can't remember who it was recently that said he was 5 yards away from winning a Super Bowl. So, I mean, the potential there is huge. It's just whether he can get through this adversity, which he hasn't faced in his career. I mean, like, this is the first time that he's really faced huge adversity in his career. So it'll be interesting, you know, if he has the mental power and wherewithal to come back from this, then, I mean, obviously he has the potential. So, I mean, the sky could be the limit for him. It's just whether he can mentally get over this hurdle.
Do you think the likelihood of Kaepernick finding success in the future depends on where he lands? Or do you think that this is something that may be beyond what an NFL team can do for him?
I think part of it is where he lands. I think, you know, it's kind of similar to the RG3 situation where maybe if he gets a whole fresh new start, he can turn himself around and have a, you know, a different future ahead of him. There's been, of course, chatter about the support in the locker room. I mean, both of their careers are very, very similar. You know, if there really is loss of locker room support, then that's going to change when he goes to a new locker room for both of them. So, I mean, I think, you know, he can work with people in the off season, but really it's kind of what he can do in the locker room. Now, I mean, there's been talk about how he has his headphones on during the lunchroom and he doesn't talk as much to a lot of the other players. I think part of that is true. I think he is somewhat shy, which can come off as being standoffish. I also think that when he meets adversity, they call it, he turns into this quiet warrior. He doesn't talk about it. He kind of turns inward and doesn't, you know, he's not one of those vocal leaders. Like, he's not the Tom Brady who goes out there and, like, is yelling at the players and kind of getting everyone fired up. He turns inward, gets quiet, and, you know, some people interpret that differently. Some people don't like that as, you know, from a quarterback, from a leadership standpoint. So he may need to turn that around. He may need to start, you know, kind of opening up a little bit in the locker room a little bit more. I'm not exactly sure. There's going to be, a different chemistry in the locker room could help.
Where do you come down on that? I mean, you bring up a really interesting point there that you know, some people don't like that. Some people, I think, you know, look down on it. I mean, just for my personal tastes, I think everybody has to lead their own way. I think asking somebody to lead in a way that suits you more than maybe suits their leadership style is really doing both of you a disservice, because you're putting somebody in a position to fail while also asking them to help you succeed, and that just seems counterintuitive to me. I'm sort of on the side of, if you know this is what you're going to get, and maybe this comes back to due diligence in the draft, knowing the type of guy that you're getting, if you know that this is the type of guy you're getting, then you maybe have to let him lead the way that he leads. Now, that's not to say you can't expect evolution, but I think there's a difference between expecting the evolution of a man and expecting a man to become a completely different person. Where do you come down on that?
I think there has to be, I mean, again, it's about the chemistry of the locker room. So if, I mean, I think you can have success being somewhat more introverted and more quiet, but it depends on who you have in the locker room. So if you have guys in the locker room that are motivated and react better to someone who's more outgoing and more outspoken, obviously you're going to get better results that way. If you have a locker room that is fine with and is motivated by that, you know, the quiet warrior is what they call Kaepernick, then you'll be fine. It's about finding that, like, symbiotic relationship in the locker room. So it just may not have worked with the Niners, and maybe it'll work with another team.
Now, the question then becomes, if the Rams are going to go after a guy like Kaepernick, you know, okay, I'm going to ask this question, and I realize that fans are going to be like, why are you asking a Niner fan for their thoughts on Fisher? It's obviously not going to be favorable. I tend to disagree. I think that you're a very level-headed person. And I also think that there are sirens in the background. So I'll just say, can Cap succeed with Fish? Because Vince Young tells me no. But Steve McNair tells me yes.
I think it's less about, let's say, I know Fisher comes from the defensive side. I think it's, it's about support. If Fisher can get behind him and support him and, you know, help him foster a great locker room chemistry, I think it could work. If he kind of lets him do his own thing and kind of not necessarily leaves him on an island, but isn't there to support him and back him, then there could be issues. I think with Kaepernick before, Harbaugh was his biggest proponent. So when you have that backing from him and he's got kind of like he can feel that the head coach being behind him, I think he could be really successful. Tom Sula was from the defensive side and kind of was kind of more, to me, in the locker room, hands-off about how Kaepernick was leading the team, then you have that disconnect. So it depends on Fisher and how much he supports him, you know, vocally and in the locker room.
Well, see, and that's going to give Rams fans pause, and one of the reasons I wanted to ask you that, because Tom Sula is a defensive guy, well, I don't think that there's any question that Fisher is a defensive guy. You know, if Tom Sula is maybe more of a little bit of a defensive guy, then Fisher represents the extreme end of that. Does that bode poorly for the situation, you think?
I don't think so. I think Fisher has a lot more experience in the NFL. He has a lot more experience as a head coach. I think he could actually help Kaepernick a lot more than Tom Sula could. Tom Sula was a great guy. I think the players liked him, but really was in over his head. I think he thought he could handle it before the season started. I think he really wanted to be a head coach. But I think once he got into it, saw all the politics and the things that he had to deal with, and I mean, wasn't the best advocate for Kaepernick. And I think Fisher could do that. He's got experience, much more experience than Tom Sula does. Tom Sula really was in over his head and didn't really know what to do in getting support for Kaepernick in the locker room.
So now the million-dollar questions before we wrap up here. Again, we'll start with what initially do you expect the Niners to, at the risk of being redundant here, expect in return? Because they're going to want something for somebody as talented, and even if he's not done it recently, I'm going to use proven in air quotes, proven that he can at least do it in some capacity, if you'll accept that answer.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the talk right now, is if the Niners are saying that they want him to stay just to raise his trade value. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, what the front office is doing. So they've been completely on, I guess, supportive of Kaepernick staying. They're saying that they want him to be there, that he'll be on the roster, not necessarily that he'd be the starter, but that he'll be on the roster. So is that to raise his trade level, trade value, or, you know, is it that they really want him to be there? I think that they're definitely trying to get more out of him. If that's what they really want, if they really want to trade, saying that they want him to be there obviously is, you know, that's a definite reason behind that.
Oh, what do you think that they're going to expect in return? Like, what are they going to want out of this? Are they going to want picks? Are they going to want players? Is it going to be team dependent? Because I look across the Rams roster, and I kind of, you know, talked with you a little bit about this on Twitter yesterday about maybe position of need that the Niners have that maybe the Rams may or may not have excess of. And you wonder, you look at a guy, you know, maybe there are some trade options there for them with guys who were, their contracts are going to come good. Or if the Niners, maybe you do a like for like, looking at either Keenum or, Foles, excuse me, Keenum or Foles, and say, hey, you know, maybe this fits more of what we're trying to accomplish here. Chip Kelly loves him. Some Pac-12 guys had Foles once before but got rid of him. Maybe there's some familiarity there, and they try and get some value back. Do you see a player for player going down, or is this going to come down to cash and picks for the Niners?
My gut instinct is to say it'll come down to picks. Balky loves to wheel and deal. He loves having a ton of picks. He trades them. He gets more. Usually will trade and get more picks for his, you know, more bang for his buck, really. If Balky sticks true to his history, I would say it's for picks.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting. It's certainly something that you're going to be up on. I'm going to be up on. Before we get out of here, I do want to give you a chance to not just, you know, for maybe Rams fans who want to go find Niners fans to poke fun at, or for those rare people who have jerseys of two colors, you people are the worst. I do want to give you a chance to let people know where they can not just find you on social media, but where they can find your work.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Lee Chan, and I do write for NinersNation.com, which is the SB Nation blog for the San Francisco 49ers.
All right. Now, my last question before I let you go here is, what was your finisher in wrestling?
My favorite finisher is the Hurricane Rana.
But what was your personal finisher, the one that you hit people with when you were wrestling? Because for people who don't know, Jen wrestled.
So I did a lot of the scissor moves, but usually in the matches that I've had, because I'm usually going against a bigger girl, it's usually kind of a sneak attack. It's like I've finished with a small package.
Yeah, I was about to say, how many small packages did you win by? And do you always feel, I don't know, shorted when they say, hey, we're going to have you win by small package?
Well, you know, when it's a David versus Goliath match, I will take whatever I can get when it comes to something like that.
All right. Well, hey, I know you've got stuff to do. I just want to say thank you for spending a little bit of time, not just with the LA Rams report here on Scout, but with me. I feel like our conversation has been a long time coming. So thank you so much for joining us here on the LA Rams Report Outburst, and we will catch you guys next time.